Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome along to church. For those of you who are watching at home, it's great to have you come and join us. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here at Barney's. Can I start off by saying Happy Mother's Day and to wish all the mums out there a great Happy Mother's Day, even though you might be isolated at home. It's great to see some of the restrictions starting to loosen, and so hopefully it might be a day for you to be able to celebrate today. Now, you would have seen along those lines, on Friday, Scott Morrison released the three-step plan to start opening up Australia again. It's going to be different state by state. We're watching out to see what's going to happen with New South Wales. There's an announcement later today. There's all sorts of things that we need to be careful about. But praise God that things are going well in Australia so far. It must be a completely different conversation in other parts of the world. In America, for example, what are things going to look like there? Especially as some of the states begin to lift restrictions, even though the infection rate is not decreasing. What is that going to look like? Or places like Russia or Brazil, where the numbers are taking off. You know, this sort of crazy world that we live in, it's a hard job being a world leader or a state leader. How do you solve those things? How do you get out of it? Sometimes we look at a problem and it just seems impossible. There's nothing that you can do to get out of things, to fix things. And it's not just a problem that is out there with coronavirus. Sometimes the problem is with us. It's inside of ourselves. Our motivations, the things that are going on inside of our hearts and our minds, it might be a relationship that needs to be fixed. Being able to trust God in hard times. Maybe there's an area of godliness, some kind of sin that you keep falling into again and again and again. Maybe it's just talking to someone about Jesus. Whether it's out there or it's with me, something that I'm wrestling in with, what do you do when it just seems impossible? These big problems that are going on. Exodus this morning is going to tell us to stop looking at ourselves and to start looking at who God is. See how big He is and what God is doing. And there's two things that we're going to see this morning. We're going to see that He's a God who saves and He's a God who sends. Why don't we pray as we take a look at God's Word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You that we can look through the book of Exodus. We thank You that we can be doing that in different ways, whether we're here physically at church or for most of us as being further afield at home. We just ask, Lord, that as we look at Your Word, that You might speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to see what You are doing at the world. We pray, Lord, that we might be encouraged and comforted because of that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you weren't here last week, we've just started looking at the book of Exodus. We're going to look through the book throughout this term. Exodus starts off with the Israelites, God's people, facing big problems. They are stuck in Egypt as slaves. There's hard labor. They're oppressed. And in chapter 2, Moses grows up. He's the rescuer that God has chosen, but he's run off to Midian. And God's people are slaves in Egypt. We see at the end of chapter 2, we see that God remembers the covenant, the promises that He made to Abraham. And the question is, so what is God going to do? How is He going to rescue the Israelites when it looks like they've got everything stacked against them? Whatever it is, it has to be pretty dramatic. Take a look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Here in Exodus chapter 3, we get the famous story of Moses and the burning bush. Except it's not, is it? The bush is on fire, but it's not burning up at all. And so Moses is curious about it. He goes and has a look, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to take a look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Don't come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." And then God declares that he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses here is in the presence of God. You want dramatic? This is pretty good. And there's a reminder here that it is not a small thing to come into the presence of God. This side of the cross, this side of what Jesus does, we know that we have an intimacy with God. But the warning here is, don't be casual about it. Don't be flippant about it, kind of like a waiter that you call out to when you want something. That is not God. That is what you do with a butler. Now here we see a God of fire. And to fear and revere him, that is the right thing for Moses to do. Now we'll see in a sec that Moses' response, it kind of goes downhill from there. But do you see the message that God has for Moses? It is great news. God says, "I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering." And here's the key part of God's message. This is the key part of what the whole book of Exodus is all about. Verse 8. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." God sees his people and he cares. And he's got a plan to save them out of Egypt into a land that is good. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but what I want you to see here is, do you see how much the action is God? Do you see in verse 7 how he describes it? "I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned, I have come down to save." Friends, God cares about our world. God cares about us. God is personal and he's active, and the rescue plan is 100%, completely, absolutely what God does. There's been a few different movies based on the story of Exodus. You've got the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston from the 1950s. Now, for those with kids, of course, you've got the cartoon Prince of Egypt by DreamWorks. I think the most recent one is back in 2014, Exodus, Gods and Kings. And here Moses is played by Christian Bale. Now, sorry if you love the movie, but I watched it for around 10 minutes and I hated it. There's all sorts of things that are wrong with a movie, especially how it shows God as this little child who is petulant and angry. But because it's Hollywood, there's all sorts of drama attached that does not fit into the original text. I had in the slides a picture of this, but we took it out just in case we're breaching copyright. There's a part where Moses, Christian Bale, who plays Batman, Christian Bale is sneaking around on some nighttime raid with a group of men, and he's armed with bows and arrows against the Egyptians. It's kind of like the Old Testament version of a commander with a sniper gun. That's what's going on there. And Wikipedia describes this movie as using his military skills, Moses trains the slaves and leads them in an insurgency. Is that what's going on here? Moses trains them up to be kind of Rambos and commandos. Now, it makes it a lot more exciting for movies, but that is completely going against the grain of Exodus. The Israelites are slaves. They are useless. They can do absolutely nothing, because it is God who sees and hears and cares and saves. The rescue is completely 100% up to God. The God who saves. And he's also the God who sends in verse 10. He says to Moses, I've come down to rescue my people. And now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now imagine Moses up to that point. You know, up to that point, Moses thinking, this is great. God can hear and sees. He's going to rescue. But then come to verse 10. Are you serious? The reason why Moses left Egypt was because Pharaoh was trying to kill him. And now you want to send him back? You know, there's been so much focus on COVID-19. It's easy to forget that there are wars still going around in the world, including in Syria. It's still happening. Over 500,000 people have been killed. At least 4,000 people this year. It's like seeing everything that is going on in Syria, all the suffering and oppression, the war. The UN can't do anything about it. And then saying, okay, well, we'll send Albie to go and fix it. Or maybe Joe, our song leader, or Steve. Yeah, you've got to be kidding. How can I go against the whole army of Syria? I don't have a chance. And I reckon that's what Moses is thinking in the rest of chapter 3. He says to God, verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses is 80 years old. He's no Christian Bale. Surely God means someone else. What does God say? I will be with you. And if God is with you, you don't need anything else. Okay, there's another problem in verse 13. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what's his name? Then what do I say to them? You know, if God did send you, what's his name then? It's kind of a bit like a test. And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, whole books are written on just this one verse, verse 14. I am, the Hebrew consonants are YHWH. YHWH is where we get Yahweh from. The name was considered to be so holy that pious Jews wouldn't even say the name because it's too holy to speak out loud. And so they would use the word Adonai. They would replace it with the word Lord instead. And so every time you see the word Lord in small caps in your Bible, it's Yahweh. God is saying, I am who I am. You can't put God in a box. He defines who he is. He defines himself. You can't compare God to anything else. He just is. I am. And if you look at the footnote on verse 14, you can translate that in another way. I will be what I'll be. In other words, you want to know what God is? Wait and see. And you will see what God is like by what he does. He's a God who saves. Moses comes up with another excuse. Chapter 4, verse 1. Well, what if they don't believe me and say, the Lord didn't appear to you? And so God gives him three signs to prove it. Moses takes his staff out and turns into a snake. And then he picks it up again and it becomes a staff again. He puts his hand into his cloak. He takes it out and it's diseased. And then God heals it. And when Moses pours water from the Nile onto the ground, it becomes blood. Three signs to show that God did appear to Moses. Three signs that are impressive. Because God is impressive. But God, verse 10, I'm bad at speaking. I can't make good arguments. My tongue, it's a little bit slow. I hate public speaking. And God says, who gave man his mouth? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? I do. I am with you. What else do you need? Moses in chapter 3 and 4 makes excuse after excuse after excuse. And finally, the truth comes out in verse 13. But Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. The question for Moses isn't, can he do it? The question is, will he? Will he do it? It's not that Moses can't do it. It's just that he doesn't want to do it. And verse 14, God's anger burns against Moses. Now that description there, it is terrifying. If Moses was scared in chapter 3, verse 4, here he should be wiped out. That the burning bush, that fire should come up and consume him. God is angry because Moses is disobedient and stubborn and sinful. But if Moses is all of that, God is patient and gracious and kind. God doesn't wipe him out. God doesn't give up on Moses or on his rescue plan. Instead, God graciously gives Aaron, the brother of Moses, to help him out. We see the God who saves and the God who sends even people who are disobedient and stubborn and sinful. People like Moses, people like us. Dawn and I are watching a series on Netflix at the moment. It seems to be a good time to be binge-watching and to see different things on what's being streamed out there. We're watching a series which is about six people who share a house in Japan. I know in this room there's a few people who've watched that. Maybe you've seen that at home. It shows their lives and interactions as these six people live together. The youngest person in the house, where we're up to in this series, is a 20-year-old. Now, this young guy doesn't have much of a direction in life. At the start, it seems like he wants to be in a Spider-Man movie, and you kind of think, that's not going to happen. But as you watch it, you know, it starts to unfold. You find out more about this young guy, and it turns out he doesn't want to be in a Spider-Man movie. He actually wants to be Spider-Man. And it's kind of scary because he is serious. He wants to be a superhero. Now, yet as we look through Exodus 3 and 4, Moses is one of the heroes of the Old Testament. He's one of the people who's held up there as, you know, you want to be like him, that Moses is this great guy as he goes great guns doing all sorts of things. Now, to some extent that is true, but I would hate to be Moses. Moses has got a tough job. The people grumble against him, not for a couple of weeks, but for 40 years. And he's got this huge problem in front of him. He has to take on the might of Egypt. But in a lot of ways, what we see here, we are like Moses. Now, speaking to Moses in the burning bush, leading the people up out of Egypt, that is unique. That is Moses. That's not us. But I find that I struggle to do what God tells me to do. I find that I am like Moses, where I am fearful and I am disobedient and sinful and weak. And following God means all kinds of things. Maybe not leading people up out of Egypt, but maybe it might be a relationship that needs to be fixed. Someone that you need to forgive, even though it's hard. It might be leading your family. Serving at church, giving, being generous. It might be a sin that you keep repeating, whether it's alcohol or pornography or being somebody who is bitter. Maybe it's talking to someone about Jesus. Now, Exodus 3 to 4 says to us that obedience to God matters. He gets angry at our disobedience, and he should. And yet he's gracious, and God is with us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to do what he says. Who gives man his mouth? God does. And the question for us shouldn't be, can I live for God? The question is, will I? What are those areas in your life that you need to be working on as we see this? What are those areas in your life that you've just been putting into the too hard basket? And so you never get round to it. Here the challenge is, bring those things out and bring them in front of God. Because God is with us. And God cares about our response to Him. That person that you think is too hard to talk to about Jesus. The person who, you know, you've just been a little bit timid to invite along to church, even though we're streaming online. You sort of think that they are too hard, they're never going to turn to God. Well, if anything, it says here that God can melt even that person's heart. Are we going to take God up on His promises? Maybe the step that you need to take this morning is to start putting your trust in Jesus in the first place. And to know that having a relationship with God, being saved, it's not up to you. It is what God does 100%. It's not like climbing a ladder to get a relationship with God. God comes down to us and He lifts us up in Jesus. If you're watching this on live stream this morning, maybe you're watching a recording of this, maybe it's even years down the track, which is a strange idea to think about. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, or you're not sure about it, let us know. Pick up a Bible. Get in touch with it. Don't just leave this to the side, because this is too big to be left for down the track. Make sure the God who saves, you respond to that. Especially because we see God even clearer than Moses did. This is another area that's different from what we see here in Exodus 3 and 4. What we see is even clearer than Moses. Moses sees a burning bush. We see God's Son, who literally gives sight to the blind and turns water not into blood, into wine. And when the Jews are trying to work out who Jesus is in John chapter 8, He says, even before Abraham was born, what does Jesus say? He says, I am. I am. And the Jews get that. They understand that Jesus is making a claim to be Yahweh Himself. And He is. Here is the powerful God who saves in all His fullness. And incredibly, He lives in us. And so the challenge here is to go and live for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for these words in Exodus 3 and 4. We thank You, Lord, that they are so exciting, not because we need to make it exciting, not because we need to dress it up in Hollywood, but because You are a God who saves and You are a God who sends. Help us, Lord, to know that we see You even clearer as we look at Your Son, Jesus. And Father, we pray that we might be encouraged to know that You are powerful and that nothing, no problem is too big for You. Lord, help us to have confidence in what You are doing in our world and in us. And that indeed, Lord, we might live for You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to pass the time over to the musos.